The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week's Parsha is Parsha Shoftim. In Parsha Shoftim, Perek Yud Ches Posuk Tes. כי אתה בוא אל אורץ אשר השם מלקח נשן לוח לסילמד לסיס כסועבס הגויים מהם. When you come to the land which HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Almighty, will give to you, you shall not learn from the nations their abominations. לא ימוצי בכל מעביר בני וביטי באש קסים כסומים עינינו מנחש ומחשף. Here the Torah lists all types of witchcraft, sorcery, superstitious practices, chayve chovir shel evi yedeini v'deiri shel amesim, which the nations that occupied Eretz Yisrael practiced. There's a whole variance of them. Rashi brings some were experts in telling when is a good time to start this type of work and when is a good time to go on a trip, when is a good month. Some would read various signs, Pite Nofel Mipiv, Tzvi Hifsiku Bederech, if a piece of bread would drop, or if a deer would cross your path, or makle nofel miyode, or if your stick fell from his hand. So then these were all signs to tell you what you should do or what you shouldn't do. Others would bring snakes together, other animals. There was witchcraft. There was Deir Shalam Esim. They would communicate with the dead. The dead would appear to them in a dream or in a vision and tell them what to do and what not to do, and so forth. In general, these were called either Kishuf or Darkei Emeri. Kisa'avas Hashem Kolaisa Eila. Because these are all hated to the Almighty, they're abominations. Ubiglal haite evaso eile, Hashem elakecha meiri sheisom miponecho. And it's because of these abominations that Hashem is driving these nations out from before you. Inclusive in this, the Gemara brings fortune telling, palm reading, astrology, see Kildorim to ask the stars, so forth, all of these types of practices. Then it concludes, Tomim Tia im Hashem Elokecha. You should be Tomim, complete with Hashem, your God. Rashi says, Yisalech imay bitmimus. Walk with HaKadosh Baruch Hu with complete trust. Utetzapelei, and look to Him. Place your hope in Him. Don't try to find out from other sources what your future is. El kol mas yove elecho kabe bitmimus. Whatever will come your way from Hashem, then you accept. Vos tia imai ulechelkei. And then it says, Tomim tia im, you shall be with Hashem, then you will be. Ostia imay or amay lechelke, you will be with him, you will be his nation, and you will be his portion. This is brought in the Rambam, and this is brought in Shulchan Aruch. It's brought in the Rambam in Perek Yud Aleph of Avodah Zarah Halacha Tes Zayin. And is brought in Shulchan Aruch and Yoredeh Kufayin Tes Sif Aleph Beramo Tomim Tia Im Hashem Elokecha. The word tomim, the Targum says shalem, which means complete and total. Many times this term can refer to the physical person, that he should be without blemish, he should be without blemish, and he should be without lacking anything. Here, though, it refers not to the physical person, but to the nefesh. It's referring more to the person emotionally, spiritually. And this means that he should have a perfect and full and complete trust in the Almighty, faith, loyalty. This also is translated into uprightness or total integrity, a simplicity without ulterior motives. In other words, what we are speaking of here is blind faith. Tomim tiyeh Hashem Elokecha, place your faith in the Almighty and follow Him blindly. Don't worry about other things. Don't try to find out other things by going around the different sides and angles and so forth and so on. The Chazal tell us that the antithesis to this is the Hebrew word bogeid. Bogeid means faithlessness. It's also a word which is used to describe a rebellion, bogadbo, or a betrayal. The reason why it's a word which describes that is because rebellion and betrayal comes from a lack of loyalty, from a lack of trust and integrity. And a bogeid refers to a person who has other motivations. Like in today's language, we would say he has other agendas. He has ulterior motives. He conspires. He's skeptical. He's cynical. He doesn't give the fullness of heart to what he's doing, or here we're referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now there are two qualities which we find always mentioned together, and that is tam v'yoshol. Tam, tomim, that's what we are referring to now, where the person should be with total faith. Yoshor means someone who is straight. Basically, these two words mean the same. Someone who's totally tam, that's a person that goes straight. Yoshor is upright and straight. And they're contrary to the bogeid. The bogeid is ma'ukal. He goes in crooked lines. He's always trying to get behind you or to the side. So what is the difference then between tam v'yoshor? Marab brings in the Nesiv HaTmimus. Yoshor is from the aspect of a person's intelligence. We were given Baruch Hashem a seichel, an intelligence, and we, with our intelligence, we are obligated all the time to try to find what's yoshor, what's straight. Yiddish, there's an expression, gleich. It was krum and gleich. Krum is when you go crooked. Gleich is when you go straight. A person was given an intelligence which is like a measuring stick. Just like you're building a wall. So they had ways to measure if it's straight or crooked. They would go up on top of the wall and they would drop a weight on a chain. And the weight would fall exactly down, exactly straight, so they could tell. They could measure the straightness of the wall against their chain and weight. So can we measure what is crooked and straight against our intelligence? Because our intelligence, hopefully, gives us the ability to tell us what's yosher, what's straight. And a perfect person is obligated to do what's straight and upright. When he learns, he has to learn with a yashrus, with a good, clear rationale, good logic. And the same thing when he deals with people. That's what yosher means. So what does temimus mean? Yosher is with the seichel. Temimus is the person himself, with the heart. In other words, that the person is obligated to go straight, to be perfectly upright, even though his seichel is not capable of telling him that this is the way to go. That means that many, many times we're obligated to labor with our seichel, with our intelligence, to find the straight path. But there are times in life when we are obligated not to use our seichel for the straight path. For example, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu says it's clear to us, Borika Hamo, it's clear as the sun to us that this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu has commanded us, then we're obligated to walk in that way, whether to, if it looks straight to us or not. Or if the Novi, prophet, will come and say, Zeh HaDovar, this is what Hashem has commanded you. And I will say that I don't think it's right. Then it's a mitzvah for us not to use our seichel. Or if the Chachomim come along, the sages of the Almighty come along, the Chachmei HaTorah, and they say, Zeh HaDovar, this is the way you go, then one is not supposed to use his seichel, or try to use his seichel, to measure whether it's right or not. In such a case, it's called Mahara Achra Hashem. He has second thoughts. He has reservations when it comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's commandments. Mahara Acha Anovi, Mahara Acha Chachomim. He has reservations and second thoughts when it comes to the words of the prophet, to the words of the sages. There he must go in blind faith. So all the time we are obligated to walk a straight path. When we do not know if the path is straight or not, we have to labor with the intelligence that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us to try every possible way to find out what is the straightest path in every case, in all circumstances. But when we are told what the straight path is, then that's the straight way. Whether if it appears to us straight or crooked, that's the straight way. So the first instance is yosher. Through your seichel, you are deciding, you are coming to what is yosher. The second instance is temimus. Yosher is with the seichel, with the intelligence, and temimus is with the lev, the heart of the person. He goes in full trust. If a person, when he's been given a clear path to go on, but he still insists on investigating it further, he says, I'm not so sure. I want to investigate it further. How do I know it's the right thing? That is what is known as a Chochma Yesera. He's trying to be too wise. We are commanded to be wise. Torah is a wisdom. Not only is it a wisdom, it's the greatest of all wisdoms. And Klal Yisrael are the wisest of all of the nations. Ki hi chochmaschem ubinaschem bein hagoyim. But we are obligated to become very, very wise, but at the same time, not too wise. There's a time to say, Ad kan, here and no more. And this is what Shlema Melech, King Solomon, told us in Sefer Keheles, Perek Zayin, Posuk Tes Zayin. He said, Al ti tzarek harbe. This refers also to righteousness, but that's not what we are speaking about this evening. He said, do not be, we are obligated to be very righteous. But sometimes there's a time when you can be too righteous. Do not be too righteous. Ve'al tishakam yeser. Ve'al tishakam yoser. And do not try to be too wise. That's a chokhma yesera. Lama tishomem. What was Shlomo Melech in particular referring to? Was he referring in general? Or was he referring to something in particular? The Chazal say no. He had something in particular in mind. Rashi brings that he was referring to Shaul HaMelech, King Saul. When Shaul HaMelech was sent by the Novi, by Shmuel, to fight against Amalek, and he was told to annihilate them, to kill every man, woman and child, and all of the animals, Shaul had reservations. He says it doesn't make sense. And he made a kal v'chomer. He made a whole rationale. He says, "Umal al nefesh achas omre teira." Have a eglarufa. Torah said that if you kill one man is murdered. It's a terrible thing. Bloodshed. And the nation needs a kapora, needs an atonement. It would bring the eglarufa. That was the calf that they broke its neck. So here a whole nation, alachas kama v'kama, how can it be right to kill off and annihilate a whole nation? Where's compassion? Where's conscience? How can we do such a thing? Now this would have all been good thinking if we weren't sure which way to go. But when HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us this is the right way to go, and this came directly to him through Shmuel Anovi, through Samuel the prophet. So then it was time for Shaul to accept and not do any more further thinking. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says it, it's right, and Tomim Tia, you must walk with him with full faith. And this is what Shlomo HaMelech was referring to. And as we'll see later on, this is what brought Shaul's downfall. Because of this, he lost his whole career, and he lost his whole malchus, the whole kingship for he and his family. Therefore, King Solomon, who was the Chochem Mikol Odom, he was the wisest of all men, he said, Al tishakom yeser. There's still what is known as to become too wise. Yiddish, there was an expression, Dav zayin klug av enish zu klug. Person must be clever, but not too clever. And Shaul was trying to be too clever. This the Gemara brings in Masechta Shabbos. And Daf Pei Ches, Seif Amar Aleph. Ahut Stuki, the Chazil Rove, the Kamein Bishmaitzu. There was a Stuki. This was a person who was an atheist. And he saw Rove, one of the sages, who was learning. And Rove was learning hard. He was trying to understand a Gemara. And when Rove learned, he learned. He didn't know what was happening. He put all of his keches into trying to understand the yashrus, the rationale of the sugi of the Shemites of the Gemara. V'yasveh Yasva etz boso didei tusikare. V'komaitz buhu v'komaven etz bose domo. And Rava didn't realize it, but he had his hand was under his leg. He was sitting. And he was pressing it so hard that he had cut his hand and it started to bleed. But Rava never even realized what was happening. So this atheist said to him, Ama Pesiso. He says, you know, you Jews are a wild nation. You are undisciplined. That's why you could do such a thing. You could sit on your own hand and push it down so hard where it's bleeding and you don't even realize it. But he says, that's what you were all the time. Dekamiso pumaicho dudanaicho. Because when you went to Har Sinai and HaKadosh Baruch Hu asked you, will you accept my Torah? So your mouth preceded your ears. Because first you said, Naaseh, we will do whatever you ask. And then you said, Nishma, let's hear what you want from us. And he says that's a wildness, it's a wildkite. Nakati bipachuzaischo komaisei. And you are still the same wild people. Bereshi boile lemishme imot sisa kablisei vilei. First you should have said, Nishma, let us hear what you want us to do. And then we will tell you if we will accept it or if we will not accept it. Someone says, I want you to do something for me. Will you do it? So what do you ask him? What do you want me to do? So this is what this man told Rava. Omalei. So Rava answered him. He says, my friend, you're making a mistake. Why? He says, Anan disaginon bishleimusa. We that walk with Hashem, with shleimus, with temimus, with fullness of heart and fullness of trust. Ksiv bon. So Shleim HaMelech wrote in Mishle, Perek Yud Aleph, Posuk Gimel. He says, he wrote on us, Tumas Yishorim Tanchem. That those that go with Hashem, with a temimus, with a fullness of trust, so then that trust will lead them in the right direction. And we went in the right direction. Hanoch inshe disagun baliluso. But you people, that you go with a lack of trust, you go with a crookedness, Ksibuhu, what is it written on you? And that's the rest of the posuk. Veselav bogdim yishodem. That your crookedness will ultimately destroy you. So what did he tell him? He says that your observation is a good observation, but you're drawing the wrong conclusion. He says, we placed our trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, will you accept my Torah? I want to give it to you. We say yes. Because we knew that he wouldn't give us something that we couldn't fulfill. And if he told us to take it, it's good and finished. I, it's lemala min asechel, we're not using asechel. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells you to do something, you do it. And tumas yishorim tanchem, those who walk with him in full trust, this will lead them in the right way. And that's why we are where we are today. You people that walk with a half a heart, you're always skeptical. You're always cynical. You're always suspicious. And you're always untrusting. This, your begdim, this will be your destruction. You walk in a crooked way, you'll be led in a crooked way. And that's why you are the way you are today. Shleim HaMelech, in the rest of Keheles, and the pasuk that we referred to before, So he adds, "Al tisochol lamasamus beleitecho." He said, "Don't be foolish if you do what we're referring to, because why should you die before your time?" What is he referring to there? Again, he's referring to Shaul, to King Saul. He said, "Shaul, what you did was very foolish. Kodesh Baruch Hu told you to do something. Don't have any reservations. Don't give second thoughts to it. Do it. Whether it looks good or not, do it. It's the right thing. You didn't trust in him, and you were a sochel. You were a fool. Loma tomus beleitecho. Why did you do this in order to kill yourself, that you should die before your time? What happened in the end?" And then it states that he lost the malchus because of this. Because he didn't listen to Hashem, Kodesh Baruch Hu took the malchus away from him. That started the whole business between him and David. Therefore he became an enemy of David, because he found out that David was going to usurp the malchus, the kingship. And he was pursuing David. And David ran away and took refuge in Ir Neiv HaKahanim, in the city of Nov, of the Kahanim. And there, when it was told to Shaul that that city gave him refuge, Shaul went out of his mind. He was told the Lashon Hara by Dave, and then Shaul went out of his mind. He went into the city of Nov, and there he killed off all of the Kahanim. It was the city of Kahanim, and he killed everyone off. He says, "Because you gave refuge to David." And they said, "What did we do wrong? David was your son-in-law, Hasan HaMelech, and he was your favorite. Why shouldn't we?" He wanted something to eat. Why shouldn't we give him something to eat? He killed off the whole city. And a basco came down. The voice of heaven came down and said, "Where's your kal v'chomer? Where's your rationale? Weren't you the one that when Hashem told you to kill Amalek, and Amalek were the Nazis? From them came Haman and Hitler. Weren't you the one that said, how can you say such a thing? It's against Seichel, it's against rationale. You kill one person, one innocent person, and you need atonement, and here you want me to kill a whole nation?" So Baskol, a voice of heaven, came and said, "Where is your rationale now? And now you go to the city of the Kahanim, who were righteous, and you went and killed every one of them." And then, when Shaul died, he was eventually killed in war. When he died, it states he died for two averus. Divrayomim perak aleph, Divrayomim aleph perak yud. Pasuk Yud Gimel states, "Vayomo Shaul b'molo asher mo'al b'neiv ir ha-kahanim u'ba'amolek." He died for two averus, for what he didn't do by Amalek, and for what he did do by the city of Nov. Otherwise, he would have lived a long time more. So Shlomo HaMelech, King Solomon, said, "Al tishakom yoser." Don't try to be too wise. Don't try to be cleverer than Hashem or cleverer than His Torah. The Torah says this is the right way, it's the right way. Why do you have to be a fool and give away your life before it's your time? This he was referring to the illustration of Shaul HaMelech. From here we see that when a person walks in a crooked way, in an untrusting manner, it takes life from him. It takes his days away from him. From here we can deduce that if he walks in a trusting manner, it'll bring him long days, it'll bring him life. And this Shlomo HaMelech writes in Mishlei, in Perek Beis Pasuk Chof Aleph, he writes, Ki yishorim yishknu oretz usmimim yivosru vo. The yishorim, those who walk straight, will dwell on the land. Means they will be there all of the time. Usmimim yivosru vo, and the tmimim, they will remain there. When everything else disappears, the yishorim and the tmimim will be there. Urishorim me'eretz yikoreisu. But the wicked, those are the ones that walk crooked, they will be cut off of the land. Uveigdim yishu mimenu. And the ones that go without trust, they will be nekar, they will be thrown off the land. In other words, they will be taken away from the world. And the reason for this is because when a person walks straight, and if he has trust in Hashem, and then he has to be straight, he's walking right down the center. When a person starts to come with all kind of calculations and cheshbeinus and crooked strategies and plots and so forth, he's walking crooked. He's going to the right, he's going to the left, and so on. A straight line never ends. Crooked lines always will eventually disappear because they just go off. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the center. He and his Torah are the center of the world. And therefore, when a person walks straight with blind faith with Hashem, when he's supposed to have this blind faith, he's attaching himself to the Mekor HaChaim, to the source of life. Atem advekim b'Hashem elokeichem chayim kulchem hayeim. It brings a person right to Hashem. If he starts to walk in other directions, right field, left field, then he's walking away from Hashem. And from the source of life, he's walking away. Now this is what we found. These attributes we find by Hashem himself in Hazino, in Parshas Hazino. Paraglamet Beis Pasuk Dalet, it states, Hatzur Tomim Po'oloi, Ki Gol Kol Drochav Mishpot. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what he does is Tomim, is in fullness, in perfectness. Ki Lamuna Vein Ovel, Tzadik V'Yoshor Hu. He's upright, and there is no distortion in what he does. A further illustration of this, what we're speaking about, is actually at the creation of the world with Adam HaRishon, the first man and the first woman. We find that before the chait, before their sin, they would have lived forever. Because at that time they were Tomim. They had perfect trust in the Almighty. They were in the center of the Gan, of Gan Eden, of Garden of Eden, and they would have lived forever. It states that Nochosh was Oru Mikol HaChayos. Nochosh, the serpent, was Orum. Orum. Orum means Armimus. Armimus means this, that's an intelligence, but a type of cleverness that is plotting, cunning. What? Devious. Cunning. This is what the word Ormo means. Hanochosh Orum Mikol HaChayos. The serpent was very clever, but he was cunning. He was plotting, he was devious. And he was far from Hashem. He came, and he incited and enticed Adam and Chava also to become far from Hashem. They already had other thoughts. Hashem said, don't eat the apple, don't eat the fruit, whatever fruit it was, from the tree. It's actually three or four different opinions as to what the fruit was. Some say it was a wheat, others say it was a fig. A fig, and others say it was wine. There's another, it was the vine, and another opinion was it was an esrog. But whatever it was, Kodesh Baruch Hu said, you shall not eat it. Now this was known, this tree was known as the Eitz Hadas Tov Vira. It was a tree of wisdom. Tree of wisdom. Except, it wasn't the wisdom of what was good. It was a further wisdom. It was a wisdom of what was good and what was evil. And this is known as a Chochma Yisera. This was a wisdom that we did not need. Now when Hashem said, don't eat it, so the ultimate wisdom is, you don't eat it. The serpent came along and he said, it's a beautiful fruit. Tev Lanaim, so good to look at. And it's so good to taste. And it brings wisdom to a person. What can be wrong with wisdom? This is the first reaction someone would say. What can be wrong with wisdom? How can you say something is wrong with wisdom? And then he came with other cunningness. There is so much wisdom in this fruit that if you'll eat it, you also will be able to create worlds with it. And then he came with further cunningness. The creator of the world ate from this tree and he created the world. And that's why he doesn't want you to eat from it. This was already the Loshon Hara. This was the Chet HaNochosh, the Avera of the serpent. See, he was coming with all kinds of rational reasons why you should transgress the command of Hashem. This was the Ormo. And it says Chava looked at the fruit and it was good to look at. And Tev Lamaskil, it was good. She could see wisdom in it and a beautiful taste. There is no logical reason in the world why one should abstain from it. True. But before they were Tomim, so she ate from it. Once she ate from it, and she gave Adam to eat from it, that was the Bitl HaTmimus, that destroyed Tmimus in the world. Never again was there that level of Tmimus, of full blind trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And they became closer to the Nochosh, closer to the serpent. And they became far from Hashem. What happened? HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, no longer can you live in my garden. You're too far from me. And he chased them out of the garden. And death was brought to the world. Like we said before, that with the Mimus, you come close to the source of life. But with the Orma, you become removed from the source of life. Maruchek, far. And this brought death to the world. This was the episode. What happened to the serpent? The serpent was banished from the world. Because he brought this into the world, he was banished. Kodesh Baruch Hu said, Eva Oshis, forever there will be hatred between woman and between you and between her seed and between your seed. And he said, Kodesh Baruch Hu said, Al Gechencho, he cut off his legs and you will crawl on your belly and you will eat from the dust of the earth. The question is asked, what was wrong with eating from the dust of the earth? Now, his parnosa is metsuya. Wherever he goes, he has parnosa. Other people, they can't eat everything. And the parnosa comes not so easily. So the answer is brought I don't know who says this answer. I heard it from one person in the name of the Kotzke Rebbe. I don't know. I heard it from others, and other names perhaps. But he said, "No." HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, "Here's your panosa. Take it and leave. I don't want anything to do with you." A father, he has sons that he likes. He tells them, "Look, whenever you need money, come and I'll give you." He's got a son he hates. He says, "Here's your Yerusha, here's your portion, take it and get out of here." That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told the serpent. He banished him from the world. It's interesting to note that from the serpent came the hate of Lashon Hara. By Lashon Hara we also find, we found the power of life and death. It states HaMoves Moves B'chaim B'yad HaLoshon, that someone who speaks Lashon Hara, this is the opposite of Timimus, so he brings he can bring death to the world, to himself. And we find that the Baal HaLoshon was also banished because Lashon Hara brings the goyim, the plague of leprosy. The main reason, many came from a number of reasons, but the main reason the Gemara says is because of Lashon Hara. When someone had this plague, this particular plague, he was the only one that was sent out of all of the three camps. Now this quality of Tamimus is a very, very great quality that brings a person to a very great level. Firstly, it brings one to Torah, like we see at Har Sinai, Nasa V'Nishma. And that's because the Torah itself has this quality. It says, Pikudei Hashem Yishorim, the mitzvahs of Hashem are straight and upright. It states, Teres Hashem Temimo, Torah is Tam. But we see by Yaakov, who was the perfection of our Oves, of the patriarchs, we find three things by Yaakov that we do not find by others. What were those three things? One, it states, Tzurosei Choku Kalkisei Yaakovet. The sages say that the image of Yaakov was hewed out on the throne of the Almighty. The throne of the Almighty, he has an image of a lion, because that's the king of the wild animals. He has an image of an eagle, that's the king of the birds. He has an image of the bull, that's the king of the domesticated animals. And then he has man, that's the overall king. Dominion was given to man in this world. Now, what form of man does he have there? It states, Surosei shel Yaakov Avinu, the image of Yaakov. Secondly, we find by Yaakov, Kula Shiftei Ko. He was the only one that produced children that were all righteous. By Abraham, he had a Yitzchak, but he had a Yishmael. Yitzchak had a Yaakov, but he had an Esav. Yaakov, Kula Shiftei Ko, all 12 sons were righteous, and they became the foundation of the house of Israel. Thirdly, the Chazal say, Yaakov Avinu Lemes. Yaakov never died. But we see that he died and he was buried. Mora says, true, but still he never died. Whatever the interpretation is, it means that in a very strong sense, he lives on. By Yaakov, actual death never occurred. However we interpret that, this is something which is only said on him, not by the other Omish. The Moral brings that all of these three great levels of Yaakov came to him all for one reason. Because it states, V'Yaakov Ish Tam. He was a tome. He had placed full and total and complete trust in the Almighty. Because of that, it states, like we read from Rashi, Tomim tia im Hashem elakecho, place your trust with Hashem, and then you will be with Hashem. Gemara brings, we'll bring it a little later, that whoever places trust in Hashem, then Hashem gives back his trust to him. This is such a strong quality that it brings a person right up to the throne of Hashem. And this is why his image is on the throne of Hashem. Secondly, it brings a person so close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, where there is no mechitza, there's no barrier at all between the two. Because, for example, if Hashem tells us to do something, and we do something because we decide that it's rational, it's logical what he's telling us, there's a barrier there. We're doing it because of our seichel, not because Hashem told us. But if Hashem tells us we should do something and we do it, Nasi v'nishma, full stop, brings us right next to him. Because of that, Lemeis, he never died. Because he was attached, he was dovak to the source of life. And then, the attachment is so strong that it will affect even further generations. David HaMelech wrote, actually, Shlema HaMelech wrote, Misalech betumei tzadik ashrei bonov achrov, mishlechov, that the righteous that walk with full trust, this will give strength even to their children after them. So therefore, all of his generations also were upright. With this we understand the Gemara, which we learnt just recently in the Shivan Peregira Nosha. That when Yaakov was wrestling with the angel was the angel of Esav. So the Gemara says that the dust went all the way up, the dust of, that they kicked up when they were wrestling went all the way up to the Kisei Yaakov, to the throne of Hashem. Why did Yaakov win? The reason why Yaakov won, how could he, it says, after that his name was changed. And he says, they will not call you Yaakov anymore, they will call you Yisrael. Kisoriso im Hashem. Vimanoshi Matuchal, because you fought with Hashem. What does it mean, Hashem, with this angel? And you won. How is it possible for someone to defeat an angel? So the answer is because it states that the angels are Sviva Vakise. The angels dwell around the throne of Hashem. And that's why it would be very difficult for us to defeat an angel. But Yaakov, because of his temimus, because of his total trust, his enormous trust in Hashem, his image is right on the throne. And therefore he was able to defeat the angels because their place is around the throne, while Yaakov was right on the throne. Now the Gemara tells us in Masechet Nedarim on this quality a number of things that we can understand very well now. The Gemara brings and the Aflamed Beis Omer Aleph Omer Rabbi Yitzchok Kol HaMetamim Atzmai HaKadosh Baruch Hu Metamim Imoi. Whoever places their full trust in Hashem, Hashem will turn around and he will share that trust with them and he will take care of them. Omer Rabbi Eishia, the Beishia says, Atzmei Sho, when you place your full trust in Hashem, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will repay you with greatness. And this was said by Avraham, because Hashem told Avraham, Yishalech lefona ve'yitomim, walk with me with full trust. And from there, Avraham became known as the Av HaMein Goyim, as the father of a multitude of nations. And just to the contrary, Kol HaManach Ishlei, those who do not trust in Hashem, but they insist on exploring other avenues. They explore the avenues of astrology or of superstitions and so forth. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will withdraw himself from you, and he'll leave you in the clutches of those powers. When a person places full trust in Hashem, he rises above all of those powers. He doesn't have to worry about it. But if he places his trust in those powers, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu withdraws himself. The Ram brings a very important principle. He says, someone who places his full trust in Hashem, then he rises above, because like we said, Tamimus goes right to the throne of Hashem. And he doesn't have to worry about all of these fortune tellers and so on and so on. He says, if he places his trust in those things, he will be left to those powers, and they can become a danger to him. In other words, not only when someone places a trust in these things is he not trusting in Hashem, but he's giving those things power over himself. That there are many times the Gemara says, is it a good sign like this? Is it a good sign like this? Perhaps we should be careful. The Gemara brings sometimes with Zugais in Perek Arbei Psochim, that was brought that many times if you do certain things, it should not be with equal numbers, and so on and so on. And that the Gemara says a cloud. If you pay no attention to it, no heed to it, then you don't have to worry about it. If you worry about it, then you do have to worry about it. And he says that's what the Gemara means. Because if you ignore it and you're not interested in it, then you're placing your trust in Hashem, and then you become free from all of these things. But someone who worries about it, in other words, his trust is not up there, but his trust is in these other powers, then he better worry about it, and he better be careful, because he falls into those clutches. The Gemara says further, Tani Avo Bereid Reb Zeiro. Kol Odom Sheinu Menachesh. Every person that does not indulge in these supernatural or superstitious practices, Machnisin Eisei B'Mechitzo Shafilu Malachi Ashores En Yechelin Lichones B'Secho. He will rise so high. In other words, a person who can close his eyes and ears to all of this superstitious practices and so forth, he will rise so high that he will come to a level where even the Malachi Ashores, where even the Malochim are not there.
How do we know? Because it says ki leinachesh biYakov veleikesem biYisrael.
It's interesting. The general, it means the nation of Israel, but it's referring to Yaakov in particular. Ki leinachesh biYakov, because Yaakov never paid any attention to all of this nonsense. He wasn't interested in it. And in those days, actually, there's a machlekes. All of these superstitious practices, the Rambam's opinion is they're totally nonsense. And he says this is good for the Hamon. These are good for the country folk and the unintelligent. See, this is what the Rambam says. Other Rishonim hold no. These practices were genuine practices. Not necessarily today, but in those days, they were genuine practices. They were built on various fringe wisdoms, if they could be called that, and they were genuine. There were sorcerers, there were witches, there were palm readers, there were gypsies, there were astrologers that knew what they were doing. Not today. Today they're just ways of making money. But those days they were. See? But the Rambam says even in those days, he says it was all nonsense and rubbish. He says it was a phony, the whole business. But there's other Rishonim that disagree. But nevertheless, by Yaakov Avinu, when Bilam looked at Klal Yisrael, he says, there's the strength of Yisrael. Ki leinachesh biYaakov. Because to Yaakov, he couldn't care less when it came to these things. If someone told him that, look, I had a dream about you, or someone told him that your palm tells you that bad things are coming for you, or my crystal ball, or whatever it might be, Yaakov couldn't care less. Ki leinachesh biYaakov leikesem biYisrael. Now, after that posuk, it states in the Torah, "Ma pol keil, ko eish yomer le Yaakov le Israel ma pol keil." That there comes a time when they ask Yaakov and Yisrael. This refers to him, but it refers to Klal Yisrael, and it comes b'skus of him. What is Hashem doing? What does that mean? They will ask to Yaakov and Yisrael, "What is Hashem doing?" The angels will come to Yisrael and they'll ask, tell us, what is Hashem doing? Because you know better than we do. Because you close your eyes and do not pay heed to all of that rubbish, you are on a greater level than we are. So kindly tell us, Mapo El Kael, what is Hashem going to do and what is he not going to do? This was the power of Yaakov. That there will be a time that the angels will have to come to Yaakov and to Yisrael to find out what is Hashem doing, because they will be all the way near the Kisei HaKovod, the throne of Hashem, because they do not pay heed to all of this. Now, the Ran says, we gave an explanation in it, but the Ran says like this, because they place their trust not in the fortune tellers and palm readers, but they place their trust in Hashem. So Hashem in return gives him over his secrets, and he reveals his secrets to them, and therefore the angels do not know what's going on. They have to come and ask Israel. This is the quality of Tomim Tia Im Hashem Elokecha. Now, actually, we are saved from an enormous amount of problems with this quality. For example, people have indecisions all of the time.
That's life.
Life calls upon us to constantly, all of the time, make decisions after decisions after decisions. And we're supposed to use our seichel, our intelligence, to the greatest benefit, to the greatest level, in order to clarify something. Many times we're wondering, should we go to university? Should we not go to university? Should we take this? Should we take that? Should I invest in this share, not invest in this share? Should I open up this business, open up that business, and so on and so on? Many times, someone will come and say, I got a wonderful opportunity. Should I take it? And then we never know, is it going to succeed or not? We don't know the asidus, we don't know the future. And many times, what he wants to do is infringing on the halacha. Sometimes the only way he can go into this business is might mean an infringement on Shabbos. Sometimes it means that he's going to have to borrow money, and it's going to be infringement, maybe with ribis, with interest. Or he's going to have to do this. Many times it's a small thing, sometimes big, sometimes small. We are very fortunate because our problems are solved for us. We don't have to go any further. It's no deal. The halacha, the Torah says no, I don't have to think any further in it. And how unfortunate are people that do not listen to the Torah because they have endless fakers, endless doubts, all of the time. I know many cases. People come and they tell me, look, this is a one in a lifetime opportunity. In those cases, sometimes someone had allocated 6 months to learn or a year to learn. Now a once in a lifetime opportunity comes up. I told them, but you set aside, you made an allocation to learn. That's like, could be a nidre mitzvah. That's like saying you're going to, just like you're going to give money to tzedakah, you were going to do a mitzvah. But this is a once in a lifetime thing, and this is an opportunity, and so on. He goes into it, and it flops, like so many once in a lifetime things. Yeah? Flops. As you get older, you'll find out that it's common for once in a lifetime opportunities to flop. See? So how's one supposed to know? How's one supposed to know? We are glücklich. We are fortunate because we have the Torah. If it looks good and there's no infraction, infringement of any halachos, and it looks good, go for it. If there's an infringement of a halacha, the Torah is telling us clear. It's no good. Run away from it. Aye, but it's once in a lifetime, run away from it, and you won't regret it. See? Many, many of our difficult questions are solved for us by Tomim Tiem Hashem Elokeichem. This is Zehadovar, this is what Hashem has said, finished, do it. The big problem comes is when we don't have the Zehadovar. See? We don't know exactly what Hashem said. Then we have to labor in Torah to try to find out what he said. But when we know, then it's finished. The same thing when it comes to life's problems. Life is full of disappointments, of difficulties, of sufferings, of tragedies, of whatnot. Tells the Rosh Yeshiva Ramat Chaketz, Echatzir Tzadik Levaroch, he used to say he came through the Holocaust. He says he cannot understand how anyone can face life
without a trust in Hashem. When people look around and see what's happening, to have sanity, from a logical, rational approach, it's impossible. All these clever philosophers that we have, and these clever liberals, and these clever psychologists, and these academics, yeah, it's impossible to go through life in a mere clinical academic approach. This is why so many of them commit suicide or end up with drugs. How are you going to explain all the murders that take place? How are you going to explain the Holocaust? Explain that for me. And there's another million things that are unexplainable. So how do we face life? This is the Gemara in Menaches, that when Moshe saw what was going to happen to Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Akiva, from the greatest sages in history, was going to be murdered by the Romans, he went with a complaint to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and he said, explain it to me. Zutere v'zuschoro. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, shteik, be silent. This is my decree. Do not ask further. And Moshe was silent. He did not ask further. They say over the name of the Chofetz Chaim that when a person does not have trust in Hashem, then there are no answers. This is very, very true. With all the academics, there are no answers if a person doesn't have trust in Hashem. But then he said further, when a person has trust in Hashem, then there are no questions. That's what he told Moshe. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe, shteik, what are you asking me questions for? Be quiet. This is my decree. And when a person can accept that, then he's tomim im Hashem alakecha. Then he rises up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's throne himself. So this is this mitzvah, which is a great level, that one we have to strive for. At the same time, it has become a pillar for us to face life with.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at PO Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.